Beloved, you are now tuned in to Three Black Men, a podcast by three black men where we talk about theology, culture, and the world around us. The following content may not be suitable if you ain't real enough. Listener discretion is advised, because real recognize real. Here's the hope when we look familiar.
My goal, my dream in life is beloved community, liberation for everybody. And that only comes when everybody is bought into the idea of sharing this thing right here. I don't think, and I don't know, because that's not my field of expertise. It's not what I spent my life pursuing. But I don't think it's a whole lot to ask somebody like, yo, we're going to give this particular assignment to somebody else.
So we're here chatting. And this bonus episode that we're bringing to you, we want to talk about a recent development that has
in the wide world of sports.
Exactly. Man. And lest you think that we don't talk about the world and the culture around us, it's the development that has hit ESPN wildly with Rachel Nichols and Maria Taylor. And so we just want to chat about it. We've been talking about it offline, but we wanted to bring that conversation online for y'all. So Maria Taylor, Rachel Nichols. I don't want to give the whole background info. Y'all can do your Googles, but
skinny. Give them the skinny.
Yeah. Do any of you want to give the Cliff Notes version of what's been going on?
I got you. Okay.
Yeah, go ahead, Trey. Okay.
Yeah, Rachel Nichols is an ESPN reporter whose specialty is in the NBA, right? And one of her things was doing the hosting responsibilities for the NBA finals, for their finals coverage for ESPN, ABC. And last year, around the time of the NBA bubble reboot, they decided they were going to give that assignment to Maria Taylor, and Rachel Nichols felt a way about that. She felt that, like, she understood that ESPN needed to move in a more diverse way, but it shouldn't come at her expense. And those comments were picked up on what was, in effect, a hot mic. She didn't know that her camera was recording her. That recording got passed around, and it damaged some relationships within the company, and is now coming to the public's attention. That's where we are right now. That's it. That's about it, right?
Yeah, that is about it. So, yeah. So
that's a real good summary.
That was a really good summary. So
yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about it, man.
Yeah, exactly. So in the conversation, she's having a conversation with a gentleman, and they are raw because they thinking they are laying.
Yeah, man. They kind of go in on the culture a little bit. Yeah, Black Lives Matter, and I'm gonna tell you something. And one of the things that I noticed at first, is with Miss Nichols, is that she's what I like to call a well-meaning white folk. They think they're allies, and essentially, what you saw are the microaggressions that Black women deal with every single day.
Oof.
Come to light. These are things that some of y'all have probably said in your own home. But only difference is that y'all ain't had no hot mic. But I got a hot one right here. No. What I don't like is she sort of perpetuates this narrative that there's an affirmative action that she's not been a part of. But historically, white women have benefited the most from affirmative action in America. So because she made a statement that said something to the, and I can't quote it verbatim, but it was to the effect of, well, which marginalized do you choose? Because Miss Nichols is a woman, and we know that there is a disparity in pay between men and women general, right? And opportunity. In a lot of different areas, right? And that is what that is, right? That is reality. And so she sort of puts herself as if like, yo, how do I get bumped out of a way for affirmative action? Like, no, ma'am, but you were affirmative action too.
That part.
Yeah, and I think it's you know, so sad is a word you could use to describe that whole conversation. I hear what you're saying as you're talking about this ally piece, because Rachel Nichols previous to this had been considered this ally, this woke activist of sorts by some, but here she is having this conversation with, it's important to name the guy, Adam Mendelsohn, who's an agent to LeBron James.
Yo, he might want to look at that. I don't
yeah,
know
yeah. This is why you gotta. That's not a good look. This is why you gotta look around your team. Okay, you gotta know who's on the team, who's on the crew. But she's having this conversation, and there's a lot of tea that goes down on that conversation. Where they, you know, I think he said something to the effect of that he was tired of the Me Too movement and Black Lives Matter, and so y'all having this tea session where you're venting, and y'all could easily have been in therapy or in your journal, but but y'all commiserating together. And I guess what I would bring to the table, it's, is there a place to vent your feelings even as someone who may genuinely feel marginalized? Like, she may, in her identity as a woman, as what you're saying, Sam, like, feel marginalized. And she may have rightly felt that Maria Taylor as a Black woman was getting unfairly elevated over her. Putting my attitude aside, because I'm rolling my eyes. Yeah, there is. I mean, there is a place for her to have those feelings. Yes,
absolutely. Yeah,
there's a place.
That hurts you to say. I can see it.
There is a place for her to vent those.
Yeah, yeah.
Your prayer journal with God, but like in your therapy session. But I think what I want to address, since we're here talking, I think rather than having all of that ire be placed upon a Black woman, and then there's this notion of the diversity hire that's being elevated in conversation, what I want to say is plenty of people have this pejorative of the phrase diversity hire as if all of our lives, Black people haven't been told that we have to work twice as hard as our white counterparts. Right. So y'all love to say that people are diversity hires as if we haven't worked twice as hard to get into the spaces that we're in. So then when we do get into those spaces, we might be the first Black fill in the blank, and then y'all make us feel like you only got into the space because you're Black.
Yeah. Right.
No, our lives we have been told you have to get straight A's, or I'm gonna spank you if you don't get straight A's. You have to be more eloquent, you have to be more intelligent, you have to be more this, you have to be more that. Then when we get there, y'all gaslight us by telling us you don't deserve to be here. And so this story has made me mad as to be honest.
Yeah, I hear that. And one aspect I've been struggling with, because as both of y'all have alluded to, she was somebody who was viewed as an ally by some. I got you, Rob, by some. And it's one of those situations that really... Right.
You better emphasize by some.
It's one of those situations where you kind of really find out what the deal is, what the jig is, what people are made out of and stuff like that. Because she even came out and issued what some people have labeled an apology. She's expressed what some people have identified as remorse. But the fact of the matter is that in this situation, which she claims to understand, because she claims to have had to fight for her place as a woman, when it came time for somebody else to have a turn or have a go, she said, oh no, not at my expense, not as... And the interesting thing about that to me is that nobody was coming for the bag. Like, nobody was trying to say she had to take a pay cut or anything. It was just that, okay, we're giving this assignment to somebody else. And to your point, Rob, when you say that there is a place for her to vent those and maybe it's in a prayer journal or whatever, I think we kind of got to take a step back and realize that maybe we mad at the same things. Why should it come to a point where two women, one happens to be black, one happens to be white, are fighting over this? It seems like y'all need to be mad at the structure that is forced, that is competing against that. But yes. Instead, the yes. person who has taken the brunt of that,
there should just be more opportunities.
Right. There should be more opportunities. But and like the person who's taking the brunt of that is the black woman who is like, oh no, this is because she's black, instead of the fact that, okay, this is somebody who is just as capable as I am. And it's one of those situations that's illuminating of the fact that somebody with the best of intentions, maybe what is viewed as a good track record on these issues and knowing how to say the right things, still has those impulses that it's easy to point the finger like, no, that is wrong. But when it happens to you, when you're asked to give up something, it becomes a whole nother thing. So for me, one of those situations like, okay, now we know that we cannot necessarily trust your words until it costs you something, right? My goal, my dream in life is beloved community, liberation for everybody. And that only comes when everybody is bought into the idea of sharing this thing right here. I don't think, and I don't know, because that's not my field of expertise. It's not what I spent my life pursuing. But I don't think it's a whole lot to ask somebody like, yo, we're going to give this particular assignment to somebody else in this season. Like, you still got your contract, you get in your bag or whatever. But the fact that at that moment, like, there's no difference between what she did in that moment and the rural farm worker saying that the Mexicans are coming for our jobs or the black people are taking all of our jobs. Like, that's what we just witnessed happen in real time with somebody who has multiple commas in their bank account. And somebody who up until recently, I guess, was viewed as somebody who was relatively progressive on these matters. It was illuminating for me to find out like, nah, this stuff doesn't go so easily. And if it does, like, we don't know what people are saying when they think the mics are off. Because
yeah, man. And I think it's why it's also important of why I say all the time that progressive does not equal anti-racist. Mm-hmm. Progressive does not mean anti-misogynist. Progressive does not mean anti-homophobic. You can be as progressive as you want to be, and you can still be racist, homophobic, misogynist, all Absolutely. Of those things, you know. Go ahead, Sam. What were you about to say?
No, I was just agreeing with you. Progressive is not just one sort of end of a spectrum or what we think. Oh, we're progressive, liberal. It's like, nah.
It's not. And I think for me, like, what was sad to me is the centering now around Rachel Nichols and covering her. And now her track record has been tarnished. And now much of the media has either come around to defend her or no, but she's always been good to me, you know.
But like, you know, and the thing is nobody's assassinating her character. Literally her own words mm-hmm. and things that she kind of, I want to say, let slip, or not, I want to say let slip, let get let someone get away with saying. She just kind of went with it, you know what I'm saying? Just that you it's your own words. Nobody's slaying your character. Why is Samuel L. Jackson's character today, right? Why is Samuel L. Jackson's character from Django coming to your defense right now? Like,
exactly. And I think what's sad to me is, you know, like, she issued an apology. I think that's worth noting. If you want to call it that, some might call it that. And I think what was sad about it to me is it was a brief apology, and I think people should have let it stand. But I think
people was in a hurry to accept that joint.
Yeah, like, people were in a hurry to accept that. And something about me. When someone issues an apology, what is a pet peeve of mine is when people accept the apology
people don't mind their doggone business.
Yeah, when people who are not in the injured party accept the apology.
Yeah,
yes.
You know, like, if I injure Trey in some way,
you wish.
I say I'm sorry, and I have been in the gym, so don't test it. And then people are in line like, it's okay, Robert. You've always been a good person. You know, it's like, that's irrelevant. Like, I'm sorry, bro, but Trey hasn't accepted the apology, but everyone's like, it's okay. Robert, you're a good-hearted man.
You did the right thing by apologizing. I accept your apology.
I accept your apology. You're a good man. You're like, wait, what? And I think when I saw her brief apology, what was sad is on air, the brothers who I will not name because I don't believe in dragging Black peoples in the street like that if I don't have to. The brothers' defense of her was longer than her apology. And so they were like, you've always been a good person. You're great. You're awesome. You're great. Everything is awesome.
I shine your shoes, son.
Yes. And it was just sad. No. So I think for me, in it, the centering of comfort for her was sad. And
because one thing to note is Maria Taylor still ain't been on air with her since. Like, one of the things that has been reported is that Maria Taylor has refused to be like programmed with Rachel Nichols since she heard the recording, and that much has not changed.
She doing the finals right now.
Yeah.
And there was talk, and there seems to be tension behind the scenes around pay and equity. Yeah. And there seems to be a very real thing that is frustration, even with Maria Taylor and her pay. And so this has been blindsided. And so we're all catching up now. And what I would say now is it's disheartening. I think this is a microcosm of what I am afraid of with allyship and calling people ally and friend in general. And what I want to know, even out of allies of various ethnicities, is like, how are you, to Sam's point earlier, how are you when the mics are off? Like, when you go home, it's okay for you to be frustrated with what you're getting or what you're not getting. But like, how are you when the mics are off? Do you deal with that? Do you fight for me behind closed doors when you're not like, hey, Robert, you're awesome? Do you really say, Robert, you're awesome with people who have positions of influence? Do you speak my name with those people? That's allyship. When you get tired of the Black Lives Matter movement, to be honest, I don't care, because guess what? One thing I cannot take off this Black skin, child.
I hope they continue to annoy you.
Yeah, because when he said he was tired of the Black Lives Matter and the Me Too, sir, have several seats.
Yeah, that's the time for you to get loud in your allyship right there. Like,
yeah, I need allyship that goes past exhaustion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And here's the other thing, because I try to be empathetic where I can. And I even voiced to y'all that I can almost understand some of Rachel Nichols' frustrations. But again, I feel like the bar for allyship, it must be too low or something, because if my first instinct, and it's fine, like, I don't expect us to all the way get rid of these things, but I can understand your knee jerk being, wait, why do I have to lose in this equation? But then your very next one, if you're an ally, needs to be, wait, why is this a zero-sum situation? Why does this have to come at anybody's expense? And then your anger ought not be directed at the person who belongs to the historically disenfranchised and marginalized. It ought to be you re-examining the system that requires that this happen in this fashion. And some of those things you got to hold to your chest. So to your point, Rob, again, when you're saying like, okay, what are you saying to the people in power? You're talking to an advisor of LeBron James, right? One of the most recognizable, popular and powerful athletes in the planet, on the planet right now. You got a new Space Jam movie. He redid Michael Jordan's movie coming out next week, right? And think about that. The same access you need to him in order to do your job is the same access that Maria Taylor needs in order to do her job effectively. And you over here throwing shade, like Adrian Wojnarowski, Woj, called Rachel Nichols a bad teammate for what she did. And I wholeheartedly agree with that. Because after a certain point, just like on a team, which is the only way that allyship works, it means that you have to be on a team. There's going to come times where you have to hand the ball. Like, you're not going to get all of the touches you want. You might not have the stat line that you want every single game. Because in order for the team to win, in order for all of us to win, sometimes we have to have a game plan. And your game plan cannot involve you sitting there throwing shade or salt on your teammate's game. Like, that's not how this is going to work successfully.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct.
Did you watch the game last night?
I watched the second half, most of the second half.
So did you see the part where Monty Williams was talking to DeAndre Ayton because he was frustrated? Because remember the first game, he had 19 rebounds. Like he almost went 20-20 in his first finals, but he didn't have the stats. And so he was telling me, he was like, listen, you set the bar high. You set that bar high. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, and you're frustrated right now. But to your point about being a teammate, he told him, he said, listen, you can't affect the game the way you did the first time, but now go dominate it physically. There's another way that you can affect the game. Be a good Absolutely. Teammate and dominate it physically so that the people that do get the shot can make them.
Ooh, that's good. Okay, saying?
That's a bar.
Leave that okay. right there, man.
Yeah, let's leave it right there. Amen and amen. Amen.
We now have a Patreon, which I want to encourage each and every one of y'all to visit at patreon.com/threeblackmen. Think through it, pray through it, ask God if he would have you partake in his work that we're doing, because on top of some bonus content here, we have some blog pieces going up. There's going to be some devotional content coming out, and I want to encourage you guys to visit that Patreon, patreon.com/threeblackmen.
Go watch my kids ruin my videos.
Go ahead, watch them. Them babies ain't ruin nothing, man. Matter of fact, there's more people going to sign up to see them babies. How about that, bro?